Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess will be back on Monday. I have a special guest, Father Charles Murr, going to be joining us in a few minutes. And today's topic is, wow, it's powerful. Cardinal Seurat, who just retired as the prefect for the Doctrine of Liturgy, I love what he has to say in an article titled, "The Only Thing That Counts Is to Seek God Ever More Deeply." He said some powerful things. Also, I'm going to be dealing with some of these controversial topics with one motive: to help people fall deep in love with Jesus and his bride, the church. I have a concern, and we're going to be talking about the next head of the Pope's Marriage and Family Institute is for contraception. It makes no sense. After what Pope Paul VI did in Humanae Vitae, and Pope Francis says right on the back of a book that Pope Paul VI was a master at bringing out this Humanae Vitae, and now actions are speaking louder than words. We're also going to take a look at what the Holy Father said on an airplane when he admits that people who are charging him of heresy are a risk. He says, "I'm willing to take that move with the other religions." So, okay. And another thing that's very controversial, Father James Martin, who we pray daily for, refers to God as her. What's wrong with that? Well, we got all that and more. Plus, I want to tell you about something you might not have heard. You know, NASA sent a probe to Mars. You know what was inside the Mars probe? A statue of our Blessed Mother, which I thought was very beautiful. I'll tell you more about that also. And then with Father Murr, we're going to be talking about all these issues, but I also want to just remind everybody about Eucharistic miracles. You remember the situation in Madrid, Spain, with the explosion that took place? That was back on January 20th, a gas explosion. Destroyed a church, killed a newly ordained priest. But I want to tell you what happened to the tabernacle and to the sacred host. It's a miracle. And much, much more. But before we get to all of that, which is what we're going to do today, and much more, I've got a special priest clip that really inspired me. Because I think we all need inspiration in these times of confusion. So let's go ahead and get some soul food in for the daily readings from the gospel at today's Mass. And it's taken from Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34. And I'll do it since Father Murr's not on yet. "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. Seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the first of all?' Jesus answered, 'The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' And Jesus says, 'The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he. And to love him with your whole heart, with all understanding, with all strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And then Jesus saw that he answered wisely. He said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any questions." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is the summary of the gospel message. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if we keep that commandment and we have that, we're going to be in good shape. And so I think that that reading just summarized it all. All right, let me bring Fulton Sheen into the room. Woo, full steam ahead. And when Father Murr comes on, we'll have him give his comment. But this is Fulton Sheen, I think, at his best regarding the reading from Sheen. And I think maybe that's Father Murr calling in right now. We'll see. Is that Father Murr?
It is.
Good. Father Murr, thanks for joining us. I saw that your call was coming in, and I bypassed the engineer. I hope he doesn't mind that. Father Murr, we just did the gospel, but now we're talking about Fulton Sheen's comment about the cross. And I got this out of the Fulton Sheen's, the quotable Sheen. So here's what Bishop Sheen says. "The cross is not something that has happened. The crucifixion is something that is happening. It can be found at any place, at any hour in the human race, for it is the epic struggle of forces of good and evil. Wow.
Beautifully profound and truer it could not be.
Yeah, I think of right now, especially, Father Murr. Wow. Well, Father Murr, I gave everybody the lineup, but I also wanted to get your take about a clip from a priest who talks about the confusion that's going on in our society and even in our church. And it's just so nice to hear a priest on fire speaking the truths of the faith, because we don't hear enough of that. And if Mr. Engineer is ready to play that clip, we'll have your comment on it. Mr. Engineer, can you play that clip?
We argue for the human dignity of anyone. And for every human person, we would argue and defend and even suffer persecution for the sake of their dignity. However, arguments for supposed equality could not be accepted. And it cannot be accepted when they're being used to push social engineering, transgenderism, homosexuality, and an attack on religion. Such attempts must be named and stopped in their tracks. As Christians, and therefore as good Samaritans, we care about our neighbors. We care about the common good. We care for the moral health of our society. We do not hide ourselves in bunkers or silos. We go out in the midst of the world proclaiming a message that gives life, mercy, peace, and hope. And as good Samaritans, we share that message. And we will argue, even legislatively, for the sake of the common good.
Wow, Father Murr, that's the kind of priest I have. I'd love to see where he just tells it like it is. We need more of that. What's your thoughts on that homily he just gave, the clip of it?
Shall I give you my first honest
book? Yeah, I really do.
Another one who won't be a bishop.
That's true. No, that's a fact. I know that for a fact.
That man speaks beautifully, and he speaks clearly.
Yeah.
I would take not issue with one thing you said, mm-hmm. Terry, but just I would sure. like to go back.
Yeah.
You said there are problems and chaos in the world
and in the church,
and also in our church.
That's right.
I would say this way.
Tell me.
There are problems and chaos in our church. Therefore,
yeah, just
there
reverse.
Are even more in the world.
Well said. No, that's
okay. Because we're going right along with the problems of the world, and this is outrageous.
Yeah. Well said. Thanks for correcting me. I love when you do that to me because
no, it's not.
It is. It's out of order.
No.
The church. What happens in the church affects the whole world. Right.
See, I look at it. I look at it this way.
Tell me.
I really do.
Tell me.
And I've examined this a lot and thought about it and prayed about it an awful lot. I really don't believe it was the world that has corrupted the church. I think it's the church that our lack of thinking, of being, of fortitude, of courage, of declaring, our lack of all of that, of being really Catholic, has weakened the church, there's no question, and has influenced the world. I don't think it was the sexual revolution of the 1968 or 67, 68, 69 that really did damage to the world. I believe it was the church that was already starting to fall apart that gave birth to that.
That let
that happen. Okay, I'm looking at it a different way. I may be wrong.
No, I think you're nailing
really
it.
That's really what I opine.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I look at it, we lost our credibility as a church.
There you are. Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, we don't have the credibility that people once had for the Holy Mother of the Church
when
she spoke. But, Father Murr, let me ask you this. There's a cardinal who I really respect. His name is Cardinal Seurat, and he just retired just this past month from the Congregation for the Liturgy. And there's an article, and I know you read Italian, you read every languages, but I had to get it in English, and it's called Cardinal Seurat, The Only Thing That Counts Is to Seek God Ever More Deeply. And I'm going to read some of that article and get your commentary, because it goes to the heart of the church, which is the liturgy. Because there's an old saying, the way the church worships is the way the church is. And, you know, this liturgy represents the mind of the church. And so we want to have the right liturgy. We want to be able to have right worship because that affects the entire church. And Cardinal Seurat is going to talk about that very thing. Also, I want to get your commentary on some crazy things that are going on regarding Father James Martin, regarding him saying that he wanted to refer to God as a her. Now, theologically, my wife and I had a good conversation last night. That kept us up pretty late last night, you know, dealing with that issue. But I want people to understand that when you talk about God, we have to be precise, and we can't be saying things that are not correct because that affects our understanding of who God is. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about Cardinal Seurat's article regarding the liturgy, and then we'll get right into the Father Martin and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Merze, retired priest for over 40 years, well-versed, well-educated, and I love him because you know exactly what's on his mind because he tells you that. You won't have to guess, what did he really mean by that? Nope, you'll know, and we're going to ask Father Merze some tough questions on the clarity of the teachings of the church on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You won't want to miss that. When we have our break, call your friends. Get them to watch us on YouTube or our iPhone app or on our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Thank you very much. Jesse will be back on Monday. Father Charles Merze joining us to fill in for Jess. And I did a teaser. I talked about a great cardinal of our church, Cardinal Seurat. And he had an interview in an Italian newspaper just recently. And the title is "The Only Thing That Counts Is to Seek God Ever More Deeply." Now, Father Merze, Cardinal Seurat says that the church today, he says, is too often we act as if everything in question of politics, power, influence, and the unjustified imposition of the hermeneutic of Vatican II that totally breaks and is irreversibly at odds with tradition. He says the solution, this is the cardinal, he argues, is for the church to return to placing God as the center of the liturgy. That implies something, that we weren't doing that. He says, beginning by celebrating Mass ad orientem, which means the priest is facing the altar, not the people, for those who don't know Latin. If God is not at the center of the church's life, then she's in danger of death. He says, suggesting that the church is currently experiencing a Good Friday, but added that the church's victory always comes through the cross. Your thoughts, Father Merze?
Boy, there are a lot of thoughts come to my mind.
I bet. Let's hear them. I'm sitting down. Go ahead.
First of all, I think he's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, for years, mm-hmm. shall I tell you a secret?
For years,
I've been praying that this man would be our next pope.
Oh, me too.
I really have. I thought this would be the great surprise and gift that God would give His church to pull us out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? But anyway. Getting back to what he says, the ad orientem,
yes,
toward the east.
Yes.
First of all, I'm not going to get into how much this would connect us with ancient religions, with Judaism, and even Islam.
Yeah.
Imagine. I mean, we're looking for points of unity.
Sure.
This is one. Everyone faces east. We can get into that whole theology at another time. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful and important feature of the Mass that has been in the Mass since the beginning of the Mass,
right.
Our Mass, for 2,000 years. Now, secondly, that what the Vatican Council did not do this.
Exactly. It
didn't. What did this was a committee put together after the council, organized by Annibal Bonini, and he put this committee together, and they decided all of these changes came out. The first country, I think, to really pick this up and run with it, even before the ink was dry on any documentation, was the United States of America.
Wow,
we had to be first. We had to be innovative and everything else. We turned our altars around. We did this, we did that. What we did, in essence, really is quite simple. We turned our mass rather than outward.
Yeah, the focus.
Rather than outward toward God, directed to God, we turned it inward toward the community.
Well,
in other
said.
Words, man became the center of our Eucharist, man. And this is, I'm not going to get into all of that either, but this is a very Masonic idea and one that's rampant today in the church, the brotherhood of man, unity, brotherhood, unity. Yeah, we as Catholics are also committed to a thing called the truth.
Yeah, right? Really?
And of course, the truth is God.
Yeah.
But the idea of turning the liturgy into a worship of man, a worship of the community, the kumbaya, hold hands, la la la,
right,
is nonsensical, and it's so nonsensical, Terry.
Yes.
That actually it has managed to turn off most of the people, most of the Catholic.
Very few are going. Yeah.
Let me ask. From 1965 onward.
That's true, Father. Let me ask you this: as a priest, and you've told me this off the air, and I really thought it was important for it to say on the air, and that is, how does that place a priest every Sunday saying Mass for? It's kind of like a, he has to be like an entertainer every Sunday. What?
Sure.
How's he going to outdo his last Sunday homily, or how, you know, his entertaining, his jokes? Am I onto something, or is that
yeah.
really
oh, no,
happening?
Absolutely, it's the Mass as entertainment,
yeah.
right? The Mass as theater, the Mass as entertainment. I've spoken to many priests, and you may notice this happening in your parish. People who are practicing Catholics, and especially in years past, you would notice that the priest was sort of getting what would used to be called burnt out. Just
yes.
burnt out. He was losing his steam and everything else. Well, I've talked to many a priest because I've traveled extensively throughout the world, and every other weekend found myself in a new parish with new priests to be able to talk to and find out what was going on.
Sure.
Their part of the world and their lives. They were actually, many of them were actually exhausted trying to figure out something new for next Sunday. What were they going to do next Sunday? Like as if perhaps a trapeze act or a sword swallow or something we should be. They didn't know what to do next. And they were getting just exhausted. Now, I say the Tridentine Mass.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
What, you know what I do differently every day?
Tell me.
Nothing.
Yeah, keeps it simple.
Absolutely nothing. It is the same beautiful action every single day, and I love it.
You bet.
You know, Sheen said this, and I thought it was a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. We're both Sheen fanatics.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yep, you bet.
All right. Well, Sheen said, take a little child and put him on your foot. I can remember doing this with my grandfather. I would sit on his foot, and he would go up and down, and I'd be bouncing all over the place. And when he would get too tired, I would be screaming, do it again, more.
Mm-hmm. That's
right?
Amazing.
Well, Bishop Sheen is saying, this is what we do at the Mass. Do it again.
Exactly.
Do it again. Do the same thing. Repeat. And this is exactly the command that our Lord gave us. Do this. Do what? Do this.
Amen.
Not do it. Do something new every day. Do this.
Yep.
When we have to put on a show.
Yeah.
And this is what the liturgy has become in many places. We're going to get burned out, and we get people don't need that. If they want entertainment, they know how to be entertained.
Yeah. Father, I'm going to switch gears. So I want you to follow up with this question, because the liturgy is really so important in one's life. And that
and
is
becoming more so and becoming even more
it
so.
It is. Especially
yeah,
with
it is.
Yeah, people can't even get to church right now, and
that's right.
It's difficult.
That's right.
But let me just throw something at you that also that unifies the people in the liturgy, the language. It seems to me, and I'm just Joe Sixpack, but you've traveled the world. Isn't there beauty when you use one sacred language, Latin, so that if you're in France, you're in, you know, the Philippines, or wherever you are in the world, the Mass is the same. Doesn't that also speak volumes to your soul?
Absolutely. Are we going to discuss this when you come back?
No, I want you got like 4 minutes. I want your commentary.
Oh,
why a common language, a worship language like Latin, It unifies the church.
I'll fly into it right now.
Go for it.
Not only is Latin our language as Catholics.
Yes.
Right? We are Latin Rite Catholics.
That's right.
Not only is it, but it's to me, the perfect language. Why? Because it's a dead language.
Exactly.
Now, let me explain that. Oh, yeah. Let me explain that. My dad, who's of German descendancy, said to me once when I started studying German, he said, don't waste your time studying German. It's a dead language. And I said, what do you mean it's a dead language? Are you kidding? The Germans, the Austrians speak it. What are you talking about, a dead language? He said, no, what I mean by that is that only the dead have time enough to study its grammar. Anyway, but that's not the case with Latin. Latin is a dead language in that no one really speaks it today. They haven't spoken it for centuries as a spoken language. Therefore, the meaning of its words, its vocabulary, are frozen. They've stopped meaning anything else. They are frozen. They mean one specific thing that cannot really be changed. This is why we use it when our dogmas are defined, because it's put in that language that is unchangeable. It means this. It's not going to say, somebody's not going to say 20 years from now, well, that word could actually mean kind of this, and it's, and today it means that. No. It means something specific. Beautiful. It's there. It's solid. You know what? That's what I used to like about the idea of being Catholic.
Yeah.
It sounded solid. It sounded rock-like. It sounded solid. It wasn't moving. It was going to be here today, tomorrow, the next day. Solid. Now, let me just tell you this.
Sure.
If I've got still a minute.
You do.
Traveling the world.
Yes.
One of the surprises, I had to go to Nagoya, Japan, in, I think it was 1986. And while I was in Nagoya, Japan, the first thing I did was look for a church to be able to say Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that there were very few Japanese Catholics. Well, I found the Cathedral of Nagoya, and it was fantastic. I remember walking up to it and seeing all of these. The first kind of shocking, but pleasant shocking thing was seeing all of these pairs of shoes outside.
That's right.
I mean, hundreds of pairs of shoes. Well, everyone takes off his shoes going into the cathedral.
Awesome. Right?
I got in there. I spoke to one of the young priests. And at that time, I was 36 years old. I spoke to a priest who I believe, maybe he was 30. Maybe he was 30. Mm-hmm. And he came over I'm trying to speak with him. Well, you would be surprised how few people in Japan actually, at that time anyway, spoke English. Mm-hmm. I was amazed. Or French, or Spanish, or Italian. The only way we could communicate was in Latin.
You got to be kidding.
Imagine this.
Oh, that's great.
And another priest came over from the rectory, the cathedral house, and said, you're going to say Mass. Could you say Mass in Latin for our people? I said, well, certainly. He said, that way they can participate, because if you say it in English or in French or something, they can't follow it. Well, I could not believe it. And this was an unannounced Mass.
Yeah.
There must have been 150 people.
Wow.
And for Mass, an unannounced Mass.
Wow.
And I remember the first time turning around and saying Dominus Vobiscum, and all of these Japanese men and women and young people and old saying Et cum spiritu.
That's awesome.
I said, wow. This, what beauty. It was so beautiful. It was magnificent.
Wow,
was
Father. Great story. And Father, when we come back, I know I'm going to hit some controversial topics, but you know, I just think that we need to address these things, especially as lay people. For me, that you know, with a priest running around, Father James Martin referring to God as her, I'm like, come on, stop this guy. This is nonsense. And so I want to ask you to give us your take, and in a charitable way, obviously. I'm not trying to beat the guy up. I mean, I want to get him to heaven. I want him to, you know, live according to the magisterial teachings of the church, not his new ideas. So I'm praying for him. But I just think we need to have him corrected. And if we have to do it on the radio, so be it. He publicly stated this in a Jesuit magazine, America, saying that God is her. So when we come back, we'll get that going and much, much more. here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. We're going to come right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse's out of town. Father Charles Murr is stepping into the studio with us via his telephone. Before we get to the Father James Martin reference to God as her, people can text me questions. I'll just give you my cell, 661-972-7872. One of our listeners is going to put Father Murr on the hot seat. I don't think it's a tough question, but I want to hear Father Murr ask this. She says, can you ask Father Murr? I sure will. Why would it be so important to connect with Eastern religions like Islam and any of the other Eastern religions? So, Father, why is it important for us to reach out to them?
I'm not saying to reach out to them, mm-hmm. All right? What I'm saying is that it's important because of history.
Yep.
It's our history. This is where we come from. That the Jews, above all, consider the East very important, mm-hmm. and that the Muslims, yep. 700 years after Christ, considered the East very important, mm-hmm. and that we as Catholics always considered the East very important. Our masses, our altars are turned toward the East.
Right.
And when they can't be because of construction or something, we apologize for it because they should be toward the East. This gives us all, you know, look, the Pope was just in days past in Iraq.
Yes.
And he was talking about the three Abrahamic religions.
Right.
All right. Good. Well, my opinion, I don't know why we're intent on trying to, I don't know what we're trying for. Some unity with them. I don't understand what the unity is. It really doesn't really matter. I am not of the opinion that we should get together in churches or synagogues or this, that. We should get together in common things. For example, the defense of life.
Yeah.
The defense of liberty.
Sure.
We have a lot of common ground to be dealing with each other.
Yeah.
Religion is not one of them. Because what we get when we start doing that in religion is we get everything watered down.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
Well, I'm not interested in that, and I don't think they're interested in that.
Yeah.
But what's important is our history, that we understand that this is what we've got in common. It's really kind of a neat thing, and more than neat, it's historically true, and it gives us a sense of awe for the East. And we could. That's a whole program in itself, Terry.
Right.
It really is. It's a good. It'd be a good one, but
it is. It is. We can do that, yeah. Father. Let me just make comment also on that. That false ecumenism, which the church we've had a lot of false ecumenism, where we just want to be brothers with everybody, but we never talk about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and encouraging other religions to come to the fullness of faith with our Catholic faith. I think this is my take. I differ a little bit with Father, which is okay. I have no problem. My difference is this. I want to have all the Muslims become Catholic, and then I'm willing to sit down and talk with them like St. Francis did, or show them the beauty by living out the Catholic faith, because I'm convinced after talking to converts, I was with one this morning from Islam, and she's now a daily communicant, and what got her to become a Catholic was sitting down with a Catholic and asking questions, what do I get? What are Catholics about? So here's my only point, is that true ecumenism is not what do you believe, what do I believe, and let's just get along. True ecumenism, in my humble opinion, is this, to show them the beauty of our Catholic faith and to get them to join us with the fullness of truth, because I'm not interested in just talking about the weather or even the politics. I get all that. We can have some common ground. But bottom line is, we want the salvation of souls. We want everybody saved. And I think that's what the mind of Christ is. Okay, Father, now that we are going to move on to Father James Martin, the Jesuit priest, he wrote an article in America Magazine referring to God as her. And it seems to me, Father Murray, as a theologian, you've spent a long time studying Christology, Mariology, all kinds of things. Where is Father Martin going wrong on this?
Father Martin is going wrong on this right from the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
And this is not the first time Father Martin has gone wrong on anything. Let me just put that mildly.
That's a fact.
Now, if I get too vicious, you're going to call me on it.
That's
would you
okay.
please?
Go ahead.
Reel me in. Yeah. First of all, God is a spirit. God is spirit.
Yep.
And anybody who thinks that he's going to understand God or be able to explain God thoroughly he's not being realistic. Nobody can do that. What St. Thomas, I remember when we were studying Thomas on God and the existence of God and all of the questions that Thomas brought forth, one of the things that I was struck by is Thomas beginning to say what God was not.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true,
That's how he started, because it's easier to say what God is not than to say what God is.
Yep. Right? Yes.
Right? Because we can't. We can't define God. This is impossible. It's not in our nature. All right?
Right.
It's in God's nature to know who he is and who we are.
Right.
It is not in our nature to know exactly who God is. As a matter of fact, when the Son of God became man and lived among us, and gave us the teaching that we need as his followers, those teachings that he gave and the dogmas that came later that the church discovered and proclaimed, they are, and listen to this carefully.
I'm listening.
Very important. They are all we need to get to heaven.
Amen.
All right? However, they are not everything. Okay. This is not all of the truth, the complete truth. There's much, much, much more. As St. John wrote, he said, and many things more could be written about the Christ, but all of the books in the world wouldn't be able to contain it. All right. And remember him writing that? Well, this is about God. You're never going to explain who God is. All right. Completely. You're not. But what the church teaches and what Christ gave us and what the church teaches that Christ gave us is what is sufficient for your salvation. All right. That's what you need to get you through. Now, what we know about God is this. The language that we use to describe God falls short. Our languages, all of our languages, are very limited.
That's right.
You know, it used to drive me crazy listening to professors, especially when we were in high school and even beginning college. They'd say, now this in the Greek means, and then in the Hebrew, and then it changed to this, and then in Egyptian. And I'm going, what? Who cares? Well, you should care. You should care, because it what they're trying to do is teach you the depth of the understanding of a word, of a concept, how it's changed through time and through time and space. Now, the problem is that even with all of that, as complex and meaningful as all that is, it doesn't get us close to having a language to understand God. Right? Everything that we have to understanding God is going to fall short.
Yeah.
Why? Because God is God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, what we do know about God is what God has told us about God. We know that he exists by nature. We didn't need God to tell us that he exists. We can figure this out for ourselves. I told you that's my favorite dogma. Of all the dogmas of the Catholic Church, that's my favorite, which comes from the First Vatican Council, Pius IX. And he said, we do not need faith to know that there is a God.
Right.
And then it ends. Dogma of faith. I love it.
That is beautiful.
I love the irony. It's beautiful. I love it. But we don't need faith. We can figure this out ourselves.
That's
and
right.
I'm amazed, and I think you are too, at how many people today, scientists of all, are coming to the conclusion, oh my goodness, God exists.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, no kidding. That's what we've been
talking
welcome
to the
here,
club.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're getting there. They're getting there just by reason, right? However, there are a lot of things about God we don't know much more. We don't know by reason. We depend on revelation.
Right.
And God revealed himself to us in sacred scripture and in sacred tradition. And in sacred scripture, he was very clear that, again, God is not a man, right? However, he explained that the closest we can get to understanding his nature is to understand him as Father.
Exactly. It's right in the Bible. Right?
Now he gave that to us.
Yep.
If it were contrary to that, if it were otherwise, he would have said, the closest you can get to understanding me is mother or sister or
right.
brother or tree or lake or whatever. And a lot of pagan religions understood him as a tree,
yep.
right? And as this and as that, right?
Sure.
I remember St. Boniface
cutting
down the tree, right?
Sure.
But this God is telling us, has told us, that the in our own language and for our own understanding, the closest that we can get to understanding him is in paternity. He is
yep.
the Father. He is the source of all life. He is life. Therefore, to go out of your way and refer to God as she or her is, I was going to say blasphemous. I think it is.
I do too.
It's certainly outrageous,
right.
even to the secular mind, but it's blasphemous. And I believe that this man does that exactly for that reason, to prick you,
yeah,
to stick you with a pin,
yeah.
to bother you. I think he gets a kick out of doing that.
He must bother. Let me jump in because we're going to take
yeah,
a quick break.
I really do.
The reason I say that, he also says, even on the issue of homosexuality, that he acknowledges what St. Paul says about homosexuality, but he says, I don't agree with it. But getting back to this topic, Christ repeatedly refers to God the Father throughout the Gospels, mentions how he is the one who shall reveal God to man. Christ does so by revealing God as Father. And no one knoweth the Son but the Father, neither doth anyone who know the Father but the Son, and he whom pleased the Son to reveal him. And bottom line, think about it. It was in this phrase also at St. Paul, opening up most every one of his epistles and saying his greeting to various recipients of the letter. Paul consistently mentioned in his first few lines, God as our Father. So Father Martin, please take heed on what the church teaches and stop being like Ford, you got a better idea. We don't need better ideas. We need what Christ taught since the beginning. We're going to come right back with Father Charles Murr, Terry Barber on Virgin Most Powerful.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse, we'll be back on Monday. Father Charles Murr, retired priest, is on with us. I want to remind everybody, after this segment, our show will end, and the next show will be The Bible with the Barbers. And it seems like we're getting more and more listeners every week. It's because I'm not there all the time. Like today, I'm going to be babysitting. So my wife will be here. She's going to give some good insights, a world biblical view of life, which I think we all need to have. Father Charles Murr, this next topic is really, it's embarrassing as a Catholic that the Holy See has put the head of the Pope's Marriage and Family Institute, a pro-contraception, pro-homosexual priest, Monsignor Philip Bardin. And every Thursday we pray for priests, the bishops and the Holy Father. So this will be another priest we should be praying for. The Monsignor has made it clear that he's not supporting Hermanni Vitae. And here's the problem, Father. And the article's long on LifeSite News, but here's the irony of all this. I'm holding in my hand a book from Ignatius Press called Why Hermanni Vitae is Still Right, edited by Janet E. Smith, Professor Smith. And on the back cover of the book, Pope Francis says this: Pope Paul VI's genius proved prophetic. He had the courage to stand up against a majority and defend the moral discipline to exercise a break on the culture to oppose what's going on in the culture for life. So he's supporting Hermanni Vitae. This was 2014. But on the other hand, he's giving a Monsignor full reins as running the Institute on Family Life, who's against Hermanni Vitae. So Father Murr, I'm just Joe Sixpack. I pray for our Holy Father, but I ask my prayer for the Holy Fathers to confirm us in our faith, not confuse us. What's confusing is, Holy Fathers, you're telling us one thing, that you support Humanae Vitae, but then you're allowing people to be in positions who undermine Humanae Vitae. I have an issue with that as a layman, and I just want to, before I give it to Father Murr, I remember when the Italian bishops were talking to the Pope and they were criticizing the Holy Father. The Pope said, that's fine. Criticize me. I want to have a dialogue with you guys. Well, Holy Father, as a layman, Joe Sixpack, I am asking you, please speak clearly and not with an ambiguity that is confusing the flock. Please reaffirm the perennial teachings of the church and not come up with things that are at best ambiguous and in some ways at odds with the perennial teachings of the church. Okay, I said it, Father Murr. Do I need to go to confession, or is this okay for a layman to do that?
Well,
I put you on the spot, didn't I? I hate to say it. I love our Holy Father, but it bothers me
a lot.
Yeah, it bothers me. I'm just being honest. I want a Holy Father to confirm us in our faith, not to put people who are going to undermine the faith. Come on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's take advantage of the Pope's invitation.
Okay. Yeah, he did. He told us that
to be critical thinkers.
Yeah,
of him and of what he's doing.
Yeah,
because he likes that.
Yeah, he did.
He likes that, and I like to be liked by people, and I like when people tell me what they like. I like to perform accordingly. Therefore, that said, I will say this: no one in my years, I was 10 years in Rome, and I know the Roman Curia, knew it at least in those years quite well. I worked in the Vatican for 5 years. No one gets appointed to any position, even as secretary to a secretary to a secretary, mm-hmm. without being on board with what the Pope wants.
That's good.
And the way the Pope thinks, which is the way to rule, to have a government of any sort, right? Therefore, that this man, whose name I don't know, but I did read about him, was put in charge of a place, put in charge of an office in the Vatican, in the Roman Curia.
Right.
It was done so with the Pope's approval and knowledge.
Got it.
Therefore, this is what the Pope wants. Now, that leads us to a bigger problem, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And this is where everyone, and I don't know if you're noticing this, I'm almost doing it right now, hems and haws a little bit and takes a step backward because you're getting too close to criticizing the Holy Father.
I understand, and I don't want to have to. I mean, but
I don't want to have to either, but I will. Mm-hmm. Okay. Certainly, he knows what he wants, and he put this man there. If this man is going against what is church teaching, which he is, then there's something very wrong. And that the Pope put him there, there's something very wrong with that. I think for any more of an explanation on that, you'd have to ask the Holy Father himself.
Yes, and that would.
But there's something's rotten in Denmark.
Yeah,
right?
This is
almost speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
It is, Father, and that's the concern, and that's why when the cardinals ask the questions, the dubia to the Holy Father, and he won't respond. I just believe that we have a right to have him give us a clear answer. That's all I'm saying. We want to know, we're the flock. The shepherd needs to speak clearly. That's all I'm asking, okay? Now, Father, I don't want to beat up on the Holy Father. I pray for him every day. But on the plane, coming back from Iraq, he even admitted charges of heresy are a risk when he's willing to take to move forward with other religions. And what he means by that is the comment, they call it the Abu Dhabi statement, where he said that all religions, are basically, equal and we're not unique. And that's where Bishop Athanasius Schneider said, please, that's not what the church teaches. And so the Abu Dhabi statement stated that this, he said that pluralism and diversity of religions are willed by God. And Bishop Athanasius Schneider said, no, it's not willed by God. He allowed, it's God's permitting his permission, but he doesn't will that all these religions, because we have one religion that's true, and that is the Catholic religion. So I'm just concerned again, Father, not to get on the Holy Father, but it just seems that this is not very clear. And I think that the Holy Father is saying that he thinks at this point that that's important, that, you know, he makes these statements, even if people are going to misinterpret him. Am I misinterpreting the Holy Father?
Well, you're saying that's not very clear. Let me be clear.
Okay.
Shall I be clear?
Yes, all please.
Right. All right. This may be my last broadcast.
That's okay. Not mine too, but I mean.
But I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. I'll be clear.
Yeah.
I know the Freemasons.
Yeah.
I know their history, and I've studied them a lot. I know that this was their movement
it.
Was a major, major bone of contention.
Yeah.
With during years in the Vatican and what they were trying to accomplish both. No, I'm not going to get into it more, but I'll tell you this: the Freemasons have as part of their intrinsically part of their philosophy.
Yeah.
All religions are the same.
That's right. Syncretism.
They're all the same. And for that, just for that remark.
Yeah.
And for holding that, they are excommunicated from the Catholic Church.
There you go. There
now,
you go.
How shall I say it clearer?
No, you said it very clear.
I said it clearly.
Yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah. No, and I appreciate that. And again, Father, I would like to pray for our Holy Father and all the bishops and priests who are shepherds in the Church, that they will have the grace to confirm us in our faith. That's all I'm really asking. I just that as a layman, I see even non-Catholics looking at us saying, gosh, what do you guys believe anymore? You guys are so ambiguous. And, you know, Father, I'm not that old, but there was a time when I was a young man, everybody knew the Catholic Church was against contraception or abortion, divorce. Now, that's not real clear to a lot of people, and I think that's because we have kind of become like one with the world. Am I onto something?
You are, and also may I go just back
yeah.
a little bit in our history
sure.
to a heresy called modernism.
Yep.
And one of the keys of modernism is ambiguity.
Yes.
Ambiguity.
Yep.
That's what makes it so dangerous.
I agree.
What game do you think Father Martin is playing?
Ambiguity.
Yep. I said this, now I'm going to run back 3 steps and hide behind a tree for a moment. Then I'm going to come out and insult you with something else, and then I'm going to go hide.
Yeah.
It's ambiguity, back and forth. When this pontificate began, I remember the Pope said to a crowd of young people, and he said it, I believe in Spanish, lo que quiero es relajo, que hagan relajo.
Translate.
Make a mess.
Yes, make a mess.
Make a mess. Well, all right. If the thing is that there is now a mess, the mess has been made. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
His desire that a mess be made has come true. It is now a mess. So we're in the middle of all of this mess. And I'm going to tell, I'll tell you and I'll tell your listeners.
Sure.
The only thing that I tell people, the one thing that I tell people, and, you know, I'm trying to convert people to the faith. Proselytism, I guess, is a new mortal sin. I don't think so. I want people to be Catholic.
Absolutely.
I want them to be participants in the full truth of Christ.
Amen.
And that belongs inside the Catholic Church. That's where I want them. And I'm helping a lot of people at present and in the future, and certainly in the past, I hope in the future, certainly in the past, to become Catholics. What I can tell them right now is they all come to me with this same confusion. Well, what you're saying this, but this one says that, and the other one says this. I said, look, just listen to what the Church has always taught.
Amen.
Just listen to what the Church has always
taught. Good advice.
Because that is never going to change.
That's right.
They say, what do you mean never? Let me say it clearly. Never. Never. If someone changes it, he or she is outside of the Church. It is never going to change. The teachings of the Church do not change. That it's that simple. Get on that track, stick on that track. Well, most of them have, and they're amazed at the treasures that they found within that truth.
Father, that's great advice to our listeners, and that gives us solace to know that we're on the right track here with our Catholic faith, the perennial teachings of the Church. Thank you, Father Merck. Can we get a priestly blessing, please?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you all and remain forever. Amen.
Amen. And Father Merck, wouldn't be right if I didn't ask you the question I asked Jess Romero, because it's the ultimate question. What state should we be living in?
The state of sanctifying grace.
Notice he said
always
sanctifying grace, but that's the life of God in us. I love it, Father Charles Murr. Well, I hope to have you on again soon. Thanks so much for joining us and filling in.
And Mike, my apologies to the Holy Father if I've offended him.
No,
God bless.
No, he'll take it. He already told us he has no problem with people criticizing him, and I respect him for that. Amen. I respect. Bye-bye. Let's pray for the Holy Father every day that he will confirm us in our Catholic faith. May God richly bless you and your family. Up next, Bible with the Barbers.